The Lyman Abner Show. With your old friends, Dave Dupitt, Cliff Arquette, Willard Waterman, music by Opie Case, and starring Lyman Abner. Lyman Abner will be with us in just a moment, but first, a short message from the Ford dealers of America.
Owners everywhere are talking about the economy of the 50 Ford. Listen to what Mr. Leonard Shack of New Mexico, one of over 450,000 delighted owners, has to say.
This is to tell you that I'm enjoying my new 1954 V8 four-door immensely. Since driving through all kinds of weather and over all types of roads, this 1954 V8 has proven itself to me to be a much better and finer car than most anyone could hope for. The riding comfort which we've enjoyed in this car over rough roads and at high speeds is truly amazing. The gasoline mileage is better than 22 miles per gallon of regular grade gasoline, and most of the mileage has been at highway speeds. I'm glad that I have a 1950 V8.
You'll hear praise like that all over the country. Praise for the economy of the new Ford. Owners are delighted with its low initial costs. Mechanics are talking about its economy of upkeep. And service station men can tell you that it's really thrifty on gas and oil. Tomorrow, stop at your local Ford dealers and test drive America's economy buy, the big new 1954.
And here they are, your old favorite, Lum and Abner.
Ten, 12, 14, 14 cans of tomatoes, large.
14 tomatoes, large, got it.
2, 4, 6, 6 cans of asparagus.
6 cans of beets.
I said asparagus.
Long, you know I can't spell asparagus.
Any idiot can tell you how to spell that.
All right, tell me how it goes.
Yes.
Yes, go on.
And then, well, you know how to spell spara, don't you?
I thought we was trying to spell asparagus.
We are. I'm just trying to break it down into syllable. Syllable.
Is that anything like a sparrow?
What I'm trying to do is cut asparagus up into little pieces.
Well, they do that before they put it in the cans, Mom. I don't want to know how to make it. I want to know how to spell it.
Well, just sound it out. E-S-S-P-A-R-A-G-U-S. You can get Gus, can't you?
Why, does he know how to spell it?
Just write this down. E-S-S-P-E-R, or no, P-A-R. Better make it 6 cans of beets.
Yeah, I can spell that good. B-E-A-T-S, beets.
Wait a minute, what's the matter with us? We could have looked on the asparagus cans here. Or no, they got it wrong, too. They got it starting with an A.
More likely they're so busy canning it, they ain't got time to learn how to spell it.
Let me get on here. 9 cans of succotash.
9 cans? Wait a minute here, Lum. What are we taking inventory for this time of year?
Well, Abner, I don't know how to break this news to you, but I'm selling out my half of the Jot 'em Down store.
Sell him out?
Now, Abner, don't go flying off the handlebars. I know what a blow this must be to you, but...
Doggies, I just can't believe it, Lum.
Well, see, I got to thinking about being in this store for 40 years, and I'm feared that if I stay in it another 10 or 20 years, I'm liable to get into a rut.
Lum, you don't do enough around here to ever get in a rut doing it.
Well, I figure I better get into some new line before I reach my prime.
Ain't you reached that yet?
Of course not.
You must be coming around for the second time.
Well, there ain't no future for me here. After all this time, I'm right exactly where I started.
Well, Lum, so am I.
Well, sure, but you're still way yonder better off than I am. You've got me for a partner. And look who I got.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of that.
I know it won't be easy getting along without me, but you make it somehow.
I better call Elizabeth and tell her.
No, now, don't call her now. Wait till you can be at her side with a bottle of smelling salts.
I've got to talk to somebody, Lum. I feel so all alone in the world. Hello? Elizabeth?
She
won't be able to stand the shock.
I've got some terrible news to tell you about Lom.
Lead up to it gradually.
He's selling out his half of the store.
How's she taking it?
Yeah.
That's it. Keep your spirits up.
Well, now, don't go out and do that, Elizabeth.
Don't let her do nothing desperate, Abner.
No, sir, now, don't start spending it till we start making it.
What's she talking about?
Call it the what? Just a minute. Lom, what's the Emancipation Proclamation?
That's when Lincoln freed the slaves, but I don't see what connection that's got.
How's that, Elizabeth? Well, now, he didn't say. Just a minute. Lom, who are you selling out to? Who's going to be my new partner?
Well, see, Charlie Redfield was looking for an investment.
It's Charlie Redfield. Yeah. Of course, Charlie don't know nothing about business. Huh? You're so right.
What did she say?
Oh, to have a what? Why, sure, yeah, champagne, yeah.
Poor woman's losing her mind.
Oh, well, now, don't start worrying about that. All right, honey. Goodbye. Huh? Oh, goodbye, Mrs. President.
She's taking it pretty hard, huh?
Yeah, but you know, Elizabeth always looks on the dark side of things. Always manages to find something to worry about.
Well, maybe I better change my mind and not leave.
Oh, no, that's what she's worried about.
Now,
run along, Buster. The new mercantile king has work to do. What are you doing here, Lom?
Oh, I just strapped in to loaf.
Don't sit in that chair. See that sign? No loafing.
No loafing?
Yeah.
Anyways, I sat in that chair for 40 years. Never was no sign on it before.
Been waiting 40 years for you to get up so I could put the sign on it. Hey, where'd you get that new suit?
Oh, I bought it with the money I got from Charlie for my half of the store.
Oh.
How you like it? It's imported shark skin.
Hope it fit the shark better than it does you. How much did Charlie pay you, Lom?
500 smackaroos on the barrel nose.
500? In cash?
Well, it wasn't quite all in cash.
How much was?
$20.
Is that all?
Well, now, wait. He's getting me 300 more this afternoon. And the rest of it is in very liquid assets.
Liquid? What is it, lemonade?
No, Smarty, it's sauerkraut juice.
Huh?
40 barrels of it.
What in the world was Charlie doing with all that sauerkraut juice?
Well, see, Charlie read somewhere that a little sauerkraut juice would improve a woman's complexion and looks.
Huh.
So he bought several hundred barrels of it for his wife.
Did it improve her any?
Did it. She got to looking so good that the fella that was delivering the kraut juice fell in love with her and they run off to St. Louis.
Yeah, but what are you going to do with all that sauerkraut juice, Long?
Sell it. When other husbands hear what good luck Charlie had with it, that stuff will sell like hotcakes.
Yeah, maybe so, but I don't think if I was you, Wait a minute, that's my ring. Jot 'em down, store. Abner Peabody, sole proprietor and head owner, doing the talking.
You can have it, too, brother.
Yeah, he's here, Charlie. For you, Lom.
Oh, thank you, buddy.
Don't take all day, boy. I'm a busy operator.
Hello, Charlie, old boy. How's that? Well, I can't now, Charlie. I've done spent it. Well, I thought you were going to get the rest of it this afternoon. I see. Well, granny, Charlie, I'm pretty well loaded on sauerkraut juice as it is. I see. Uh-huh. All right, Charlie. So long.
Something go wrong with your big deal, Mr. Rockefeller?
Huh? Oh, of course not. Say, Abner.
Yeah?
Would you be interested in 150 barrels of sauerkraut juice?
No, Lom. I never could get shut all that junk.
Uh-huh. Well, could you lend me $5 then?
$5?
Just till I get launched in a new career.
Why, Lom, I just got enough in the cash drawer to make change with as it is. Will a quarter help you any?
Are you trying to insult me?
Why, no.
All right, then. Give me the quarter. I'm going to get to be a millionaire if I have to go broke doing it. So long, store clerk.
Come on in.
Griff, could I interest you in some high-grade sauerkraut juice?
Oh, no. Please get your foot out of the door, boy.
Only 13 cents a can. Or you can get it in the large-size economy barrel.
I said no.
Can't blame it. Nobody wants any of this junk. Griff, you don't know where I could get a job, do you?
A job, huh? Best thing to do is to call Kermit Gibson over at Hatfield.
What kind of a job can he give me?
I don't know. We'll see what he's got. Kermit runs a Gibson Employment Agency and secondhand clothing store. Hello, Mamie. This is Cliff Arquette. I want to call Hatfield. Paradise Pool Party.
I thought you were calling an employment agent.
Kermit gets all his calls over at the pool hall. What's that, Mamie? Yes, I want the owner, Ed Gruber.
I thought you were calling Kermit Gibson.
Lum, you're fighting me.
Excuse me.
Hello. Who is this? Yeah. Well, how many guesses do I get?
Cliff, we ain't got time for all that.
Emory Fletcher?
Oh, for pity's sake.
Ronald Coleman?
Ronald Coleman?
Well, it ain't really Ronald Coleman, Lum. It's Ed Gruber, but he always wants you to guess who he is. Thinks he can disguise his voice so good, you know. Is that Ed? Yeah, oh, now he's imitating a woman. You can't fool me, Ed, you old goat. Huh? Oh. Well, how are you, Mrs. Flannery? I'm fine. Yeah. Well, just a minute. Say, Lum.
Yeah?
What do you suppose Mrs. Flannery's doing at the pool hall?
How would I know? Get hold of Kermit.
She's a lousy pool player.
Cliff, get Kermit. I've got to get a job before I starve to death.
Yeah, hello, Mrs. Flannery. Say, would you tell Kermit? Who? Well, my stars, put him on. Now, Bert Vesey's there.
I don't care who's there. Get Kermit.
Bert and I went all through grammar school together.
Good.
Hello, Bert. Remember the good old days in grammar school, Bert? Yeah, he remembers them.
Look, Cliff.
Who? Well, put him on, Bert.
That blame it, Cliff. Don't talk to nobody else.
This is Kermit. He just walked in.
Oh.
Hello, Kermit. Oh, just fine. Say, Kermit, I got a friend here that's broke and out of work.
Ain't there some other way you could put that?
Well, just a minute. Hey, Lum, you play a saxophone?
No, I can't.
Well, that's too bad. There's a nice opening with Dutch Feldmap and his Royal Filipinos.
Well, that ain't exactly the type of job I'm looking for.
Now, Kermit says if you take the job, he'll sell you a white tuxedo for only $12.
Well, that's nice of him, but I told you I can't play the saxophone.
Hello, Kermit. No, he can't. Yeah, I wish you would try to work up something for him. Well, now, just a minute. Hey, Lum, how's this sound? Kermit says you don't have to join the band. He'll sell you the white tuxedo anyway.
But I don't want a white tuxedo.
Hello, Kermit. Now he says he doesn't want the suit. Well, hold on, Kermit. Tommy says that suit's the only thing he's got that'll look good in the band. Except a Swiss Alpine outfit.
Look, Cliff,
That wouldn't go very well with your saxophone.
Cliff, I don't want a suit. I ain't got a saxophone. I don't want to be in a band. I want a job like, well, like clerking in a store. Something I know something about.
Yeah. Hello, Kermit. Well, he's changed his mind again. Now he wants a job clerking in a store. Well, good. Well, just a minute. Lum, call just come in for a store clerk, but you'll have to be in Hatfield at 8 in the morning for an interview.
Green over to Hatfield?
At 8 a.m. sharp.
Yeah, well, better do it, I reckon.
Hey, Kermit, he'll be there. Oh, that's awful nice of you. Yeah, I'll tell him. Goodbye. That Kermit's a wonderful boy. He said for you to bring him along, you can trade it in on a business suit.
Bring what along?
Bring what along? Why, your saxophone.
Now, a brief message from the Ford dealers of America.
All over the country, folks who know their cars are singing the praises of the big new Ford. Mechanics, garage men, service station attendants, and most important of all, Ford owners themselves, by talking about the performance, the comfort, and the economy of the 1950 Ford. They've had plenty of opportunity to see it in action, to drive it, to compare it point by point with any and all the others. And they're saying that this is the finest car Ford has ever turned out. Yes, any Ford owner can tell you what a wonderful car the new Ford is. Any mechanic can testify to its economy of upkeep. And at any gasoline station, you can learn how thrifty it is on gas and oil. But don't take anybody's word for it. Find out for yourself. Stop at your neighborhood Ford dealers tomorrow. Get the facts about Ford economy. Then get behind the wheel and get the feel of this great car. Test drive the big new 1950 Ford.
Howdy do. Is this the Gibson Employment Agency?
Yeah, but Mr. Gibson ain't in. He's not looking for the job.
Well, I come here to be interviewed for a store clerking position.
Oh, yeah. Well, the fella's going to hire you is in the office right there. Just go right in and introduce yourself.
Much obliged. Oh, how do you do, sir? I'm Lum Edwards. Abner, what are you doing here?
Well, I called this agency yesterday to hire a store clerk, and they said they had somebody coming in at 8 o'clock this morning for an interview and for me to be here.
Oh, for goodness sake. To think that I got up in the middle of the night and come all the way over here to get a job with you.
Law me, I could have turned you down right there in Pine Ridge. Saved us both a trip.
Yeah, how much was you aiming on paying, Abner?
Well, now, wait, Lon. Don't forget you turned this job down once.
Yeah, but since then, the bottom sort of fell out of the sauerkraut juice market. Look, Abner, I...
My name is Mr. Peabody. I'm running this interview on a strict business bias. So I'll thank you to call me Mr. Peabody.
Yes, Mr. Peabody.
Just call me Abner for short. Now, and tell me, son, how long did you stay at the last place you worked?
40 years.
Have you had any steady work?
Abner, do I get the job or don't I?
Have you got any business references?
No, I got a good one. It's from a big corporation in Toledo. Here, read this, Mr. Peabody.
Yes. You are a man of great integrity and honesty. Your strength of character is a source of inspiration. You weigh 159 pounds.
How do you like that?
Dog is Lum. I had no idea you were so well thought of by the Toledo Wind Machine Company.
Well, now, when do I start? Tomorrow morning at 10?
No, you will open the store at 7. I want you to scrub the floors and dust the shelves and weigh up the potatoes and unpack the canned goods and clean out the cellar.
Is that all?
Well, there's a couple other things, but you can take care of them after breakfast.
I can't do all them things before breakfast. I got to have more time.
Yes, boy, I believe you're right. Tell you what, open the store at 5.
Granny, you can just open the store yourself.
Well, now, don't you go flying off the handlebars, Lum. I've been doing that much work at the store every day for the last 40 years.
You have?
Why, sure.
Well, right, Granny, that's settled with it. I ain't going to work for nobody. That's stupid. Goodbye, Mr. Peabody.
Oh, hello, Abner. Come on in the locker room and grab a stool. What do you have now, the businessman's hash?
No, believe I'll take that chicken fried steak, Opie. Well done.
All right. I don't know whether that dumb cook back there can fix it or not.
Dip one and burn it.
Dip one and burn it.
Yes, sir, Opie, I'll take... Wait a minute, who is that back there?
Oh, fella, I just hired. I'm going to have firing, though. Hey, do you want some buttermilk with that, Adam?
Yeah.
Churn one.
Churn one.
All right, don't get that slump. Hey, Long, come out of that kitchen.
All right, now, Abner, don't go getting ideas in your head. I'm just doing this temporary, just till a big deal I'm working on comes through.
Oh, prattle, prattle. Now, you come and work for me, Long. Opie says he's going to have to fire you anyway.
I don't care. My pride won't let me go back to the Jot-'em-down store.
Well, look, Farmer, I think I know a job you might get.
Is it something worthy of my ability?
Oh, you want something better than that, don't you? Now, look, Lump. Sam Bushnagel needs somebody to set pins over at his bowling alley.
I don't want to be no pin boy.
Why not? You've got just the head for it.
How many alleys would I have to take care of?
Well, when I had the job, before Sam fired me, I had to take care of 10 alleys.
10?
Yeah. It was pretty hard at first, but there was nothing to it after I nailed all the pins to the floor.
Well, you can't do that, Opie. The customers would find out as soon as they roll the bowling ball.
Roll it? They couldn't even lift it.
Why couldn't they?
I put grease in the hole.
Lon, you better give up and work for me.
No, sir.
Look, Lon, I'll just make you do half the work that you used to make me do.
Why, you slave driver.
And you know it.
All right, how about a fourth then?
Abner, I don't need you or the store or this lunchroom or the bowling alley or nothing else. The unemployment bureau will pay me $25 a week and I can stay in bed.
What's that? The government will pay you $25 a week to stay in bed.
Well, I have to get up once a week to go down and get the check.
I know there was a catch to it.
Sure, but it's still a better deal than working for you. Goodbye. Pardon me, mister, but is this the line we stand in to get our unemployment check? Abner, for pity's sake, what are you doing here?
Well, it sounded like such a good deal that I sold my half the store to Charlie, too. Here I am.
And as I thought, I got all the sauerkraut juice he had. Well, turn around, Abner. You're next at the window there.
Yes. Well, how do you do?
How do you do? Well, it's Pat Stinson, Miss
Pitt. Hello, Miss Pitt.
Well, if it ain't, I've been forging a lot of checks lately.
Well, how come you working here?
It's the only way a young girl can meet a lot of men with a steady income.
Miss Pitt, could you sort of rush this along, please?
All right, let's see now. Have you filled out your form, Mr. Peabody?
A lot better than you have, kiddo.
I mean, have you made out this blank here?
Doggies, I ain't got no pencil. All I've brung along with me is just a big pocketbook to carry the stuff home in.
Here, I got a pencil. What do we have to put down?
Well, it tells there. Name, address, race, all that.
Race? What's that for? Do we have to race them for the money?
And be sure and check this item here. Are you married or single? That's very important.
Well, why is that so important to the giver man?
Oh, not to them, to me. I'm getting a lot of good leads here.
Well, I don't see no sense in answering a lot of silly questions like that. Can't you just give us our money and let us go?
Well, I'm new here, Mr. Edwards. Why don't you step around to that desk over there and take it up with Mr. Fishback?
Yeah, that's a good idea. Come on, Abner. Much obliged, Miss Pitts.
You're welcome. All right, next.
I don't know why they always got to use so much red tape.
I don't either. Regular white tape's good enough for anything.
Excuse me, are you Mr. Fishback?
Yes, what can I do for you?
I'd like to get my $25 so that I can go back to bed till next week.
Oh, you would, eh?
Yeah, make mine 50. I'm a heavy sleeper.
Do you think 50 will be enough?
Can I get more? Doggies, make it 100.
Abner, don't be greedy.
Mom, I might want to go fishing. I might have to miss out on a couple of weeks.
Yeah, that's true. I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah, make it in 20s, Buster. I don't like to carry around a too big a roll on it.
Yes, of course. In case you decide to fish a little longer, just let us know where you are. I'll have the Air Force drop you another 100.
Thank you. Hey, this fella's all right.
Yeah. Now let's take up my case.
Just a minute. I'm afraid you men have a slightly wrong idea about this entire thing.
Well, I admit I ain't been able to understand why it is the government don't want people to work.
The government wants people to work. We only pay you $25 a week when you don't work.
How much does the government pay you when you do work?
Nothing.
That proves that the government don't want you.
Yeah, I believe Andrew's got a point there.
If he puts his hat back on, nobody will notice. Now, look, unemployment insurance is like life insurance.
You mean you have to die to get it? Well, here, Lon, in that case, you better go ahead of me, then. You've got a better chance of collecting.
You don't have to die to collect it. However, I'm beginning to see some merit in the suggestion. Now, look, in order to collect anything, you have to pay in something first. The money you pay in is taken out of your earnings. Now then, how much salary have you been making?
Salary? We don't make none of that. See, we own the business. Or that is, we did. We're broke now.
Well, not quite. We're worth our weight in sauerkraut juice.
Well, all right, then. All right. Now, how much do you take out of the business each year?
Well, that depends on how close Lum watches me. I always put it back, though. Almost.
Well, gentlemen, here are the cold facts. You're not eligible to draw unemployment insurance.
How do you like that? We can't even get a job being unemployed.
However, the primary function of this office is to find jobs for people. Now, let me look through my files and see if I have anything you could handle.
Lon, do we have to put up with this kind of treatment?
Yeah, we better, Abner. We can't live on sauerkraut juice forever.
Do either of you men play the saxophone?
No.
There's a nice opening with Judge Belknap and his Royal Filipinos.
Hey, I'll take that.
Abner, you can't take that.
Why not?
You ain't got no white tuxedo.
All right, I'll get one and take lessons on it then.
Oh, yes, here's one. A man is going away for the summer and wants a couple of fellows to run his firm for him.
All right, grannies, we'll take that. That's just what I was looking for in the first place. Come on, Abner, let's get over there quick.
Yeah. Well, wait a minute. You better take along the address.
Oh, yeah. Much obliged, Mr. Fishbag. So long.
Yeah, where we go, Lon? What's the name of the place?
Well, I'll be dead lame.
What's the matter?
You'd be glad to know that we're now employed by a big firm named the Jot'em Down Store.
Love and Abner will be back in a moment. And now, here's a short message from your local Ford dealer.
The car everyone's talking about is a 1950 Ford. Listen to what Mrs. Lilas Collins of Detroit, one of over 450,000 new Ford owners, has to say.
I just have to tell you how much I like my new 50 Ford. Being a woman, I do so appreciate the way the car handles and parks. It just doesn't take any effort at all. I know nothing about machinery, but that V8 certainly has a thrilling getaway. I could go on and on about its economy, comfort, and beauty, and the real pleasure it gives me. Thanks for making such a wonderful car.
Yes, Ford owners, mechanics, service station attendants, and garage men all over the country agree. The new 1950 Ford is the finest car Ford has ever turned out. They're saying it's tops for performance, for comfort, and for economy. But see, hear, and feel the difference yourself. Stop at your neighborhood Ford dealers and test drive the big new Ford tomorrow.
Hello, Jot'em Down Store, Clerk Peabody talking. Well, doggies, I don't know, Charlie. Yeah, let me ask Clerk Edwards and see what he says. Hey, Lom, our boss says that he can't pay us our first week's salary.
I was afraid this thing is too good to be true. What does he want to do about it?
Well, he says if it's all right with us, he'll give us back the store and call it even.
All right, it's a deal. But I, Granny, he's got to take back his dead blame sauerkraut.
Thank you.